You know, graduation is a very important accomplishment. It actually is a doorway. It's a doorway into another arena. It puts you in another area of maturity, another chance for you to step up to the plate, and God actually allows this so we can get up there and be used of God in a special way. And so we've got a couple here. Let's see. Dylan, there's two Bibles right there in boxes. Can you bring them to me? Now, in honor of graduation, y'all need to learn how to write in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. So to get y'all started, I've already started it in the front page. Let's see here. Kendall. Where is Kendall at? Y'all, hold. You'll put your hat on. I can't do it until you put your hat on. Hold. You can't come up yet either. Can't come up yet. I got to get all my ducks in a row. Of course, I just pushed the wrong button. Isn't that cool? Technology is good until you push the wrong button. Yeah, that's what they said before they shot a missile off overseas. Yeah, everything's fine until you hit the wrong button. Okay. There you go. There we go. Yeah, all right, Kendall. You come up first then. Kendall graduated. He said, Lordy, he got out of, what was it? And you want to try to read it, or do you want me to read it for you? Okay. Now this is actually my cousin. Do you see us? Look. Kendall, this is a great moment in your life. Step up and fly. God is with you, Pastor David. And it's in Hebrew and Greek, so you can practice. give Lord a hand clap and give Kendall a hand clap. Great accomplishment. Yeah. Stay right there. I don't want to work. Here, come on up here. Come up here, Sierra. Here's another one. She's used to reading my Hebrew and Greek. So you get to read this one. Okay, you read that one. I'll stand behind you just in case you need some help.
Hold on.
You got to hold it still so I can read it too, because I have to. I'm challenged at times when it gets cold.
This is a major milestone in your life.
A little louder.
This is a major milestone in your life. The
greatest
challenges are on the way, but you
do fine.
Do fine
if you can read Greek.
Hold on.
You have great family support and you have God. Fly.
Okay.
Proud of you.
Almost had it all.
Now they favor. Look, they favor. For once in your life, somebody can call you a flathead. Now y'all go. Y'all want to throw him up and then go out, or y'all just want to go out? Major, we're proud of y'all. Major accomplishments. Yep, I remember when I graduated. And, yeah, I graduated. Lord, I can't believe it. Y'all remember that one? Amen. What happened to the... Oh, there it is. Now there was one more thing. What? Oh, fathers. Today's Father's Day. How many know that? I read about this lady. I know it's a sad story to tell you at Father's Day, but her husband died. And it was a couple of days after the funeral, and the wife looked over at a friend and said, "I'm dead broke." And she said, "Dead broke?" Said, "Why?" "He left you $20,000. He was a good father." She said, "Yeah, but I spent $5,000 on the funeral and $15,000 on the memorial stone." And she said, "Good land, a memorial stone costing $15,000. How big was it?" She said, "Oh, 4.5 carats. Come on up here. Sister Baker wants to bless the men.
Yesterday is Father's Day. And you know,
They call him Father, they call him Daddy, they call him Dad. My granddaughter calls him Daddy. So it doesn't matter what you call him.
As long as you realize what God calls you. And God has called each and every father to be the spiritual leader in your family. And as well as in the church, all the fathers in the church, you are called to be the spiritual leaders in the church. So that's all that matters, is what God has called you. When Jesus came to the earth, he became the pattern son. And you, fathers, are to carry the spiritual mantle in your family, and you're to be the spiritual pattern in your family. But we'd like to recognize a couple of special fathers. The first one is our oldest father. So I guess anybody that's 85 and older, if you would, raise your hand.
So you feel like it or you are?
Really? actual years, if you got the driver's license. So we don't have but only one that's above 85? 87. Do you have any words of wisdom that you'd like to share with some of these other fathers?
Remember, always thank God for everything he does for you, and also your wife to keep the family good. We've been married 65 years.
All right.
Bless you both. Okay, so bless you. So to one of our super pops, I guess if we had a thing today, it might be on the nutty side. Now, we're not saying that the fathers are nutty.
It helps, though.
We're nuts over you. Let's just put it that way. Okay, the next one we want recognized is our father with the youngest child. So, do we have a father here with a child less than 3 years old? Daniel, it looks like you get it. So to the youngest, best pops in the world, get a bag of popcorn. So now, would all the other fathers please stand up? If you're a father, please stand up. If you can't stand up, raise your hand. Okay, church, if you would, let's give all of our fathers a round of applause. And if you'll just remain standing, we have a gift for you, and I'm going to ask Jordan if you'll come up and help me, and Sierra if you'll come up and help me. These ladies are going to give you a gift. Now, in the bottom of your bag, now, I don't know how many of you are old enough to remember Cracker Jacks. Used to, you buy a box of Cracker Jacks, and you couldn't hardly wait to eat it because there'd be a prize at the bottom. And the bottom of your bag is a prize. Now, this is God's answer to all man's problems were the nails on the cross. He took care of all man's problems. But what you're going to find in the bottom of this bag is something that every man depends on. If he's got this, he could fix the world.
Duct tape.
Yep. He's done and told you what your prize is.
Did he?
Yes. So in the bottom of your bag, if you get past all the nuts, there's a roll of duct tape. So I'm going to ask these girls if they would pass one out to each one of you.
Don, can you turn that light on right there?
Get your bag, if you would, just you can sit down.
Thank you. I want my duct tape. I won't throw it.
Okay, to all the men, gentlemen that are 18 above that are not fathers, if you'd stand up. Okay, girls, if you would go share one with them as well. And isn't it good? God knew exactly how many would be here today.
That's awesome.
Exactly enough.
That's awesome.
Happy Father's Day.
Awesome. Awesome. I'm not going to keep you long today. I do want to challenge you. It's something that I found out early on is a good protection. How many like to be able to protect your family? How many like to think that you could protect your children even when they were going astray and even when they were messing up and even when they didn't want... How many has ever had your children actually didn't want to be around you for a while? How many... All right, I'm going to tell you this. How many children want to be around your dad for a while? I got sons and a daughter back there, and let's see. Hands went up fast. I'm talking about... There was one time I honestly did. I threatened to kill them. And they asked their grandma, please take us home so we can live another day. And I had to, but I practiced what I'm getting ready to preach, and it really helped a lot. You know, I did hear about, this is oldie but goldie, a child asked his mama, said, little girl asked her mama, said, where'd we come from? And she said, well, we're created in the image of God. God created us, you know, 7 days or 6 days of creation, he created us. And she said, okay. And a couple of days later, she was still trying to figure this out in her head and grasp it. So she asked her dad, said, Dad, where do we come from? He said, well, start out with these apes. And these apes just started evolving, and they started acting more like us. And then eventually, you know, they were like us, and that was us. And so she was really confused then. So she went to her mama and said, Mama, I'm really confused now. She said, why? She said, I asked you how we were created. She said, we were created by God in his image. And I said, I asked Dad, and he said, we were come from monkeys. And she said, oh, it's simple to explain. She said, I was telling you about my side of the family. And he was telling you about his side of the family. Okay, fatherhood. There's a cycle. Everybody knows there's a cycle for fatherhood. Let me go ahead and read the scripture first, and then we'll do that. Let's read the scripture. God is so good. Get your Bibles out to Genesis. Genesis chapter 27. Very proud of all y'all that graduated. It's an awesome accomplishment. It is a doorway for something even greater to happen now. And y'all can do this. Y'all got the gumption. Y'all got the know-how. Y'all got the brains. And y'all going to be all right. And you got the support. So it's going to be okay. And also, I'm proud of all y'all dads. You know, sometimes you're a dad because you've had children. And sometimes you're a dad because of circumstance. And either way, you still have a big responsibility. And so we need to do that. Everybody stand. Genesis chapter 27. Let's look at verse, we'll just go ahead and start at 22. This actually says this is Father's Day. This is very negative. Yeah, it's very negative. But I thought about that thing. My wife took a very negative thing at Mother's Day and turned around to a very positive. So I said, you know what? There's got to be one for a father the same way, and it sure is. It's right here. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, art thou my son Esau? And he said, I am. And he said, bring it near to me, and I'll eat my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought near him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, after he'd eaten, come now here and kiss me, my son. And he came near and he kissed him. And he smelt the smell of his raiment, and he blessed him. And he said, see, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee the dew of the heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, Jacob was yet scarce gone from the presence of Isaac his father, and Esau his brother came in from hunting. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, for all that you mean to us, Lord, and what you do for us. God, I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, God, to find a positive in this negative, Lord. And we thank you for it. We thank you for Father's Day, and we thank you for this opportunity to be here. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, on the way down, tell somebody, Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. Matter of fact, go, happy, happy, happy. Happy, happy, happy. Happy, happy, happy. Praise God. Now, I don't know about you, but fatherhood, I've seen that fatherhood has a cycle. Did you know that? Fatherhood has a cycle, and when children go through this cycle, this is what happens. What's this fatherhood cycle? At 4 years old, here's what the child says. My daddy can do anything. At 7, he says, my dad knows a lot, a whole lot. At 12, the child will say, oh, well, naturally, father doesn't know that either. At 14, father, hopelessly old-fashioned. 21 years, oh, that man is so out of date. What did you expect? 25, he knows a little bit, but not much. 30, maybe we ought to find out what dad thinks. 35, let's ask dad what he would do before we make a decision. 40, I wonder what dad would had thought about that. He was pretty smart. At 50 years old, my dad knew absolutely everything. At 60 years old, I'd give anything if dad were here so I could talk it over with him. I really miss that man. Wow. So now we're gonna go in here and we're going to talk about a father's blessing. And first, I want you to watch this and then we're going to go right into it. You're going to have to punch, once you get it, there you go. Okay. Hold on. Let's see here. But I don't think there's a thing. I think you got it the wrong one. I can't get it over here to stop it. There you go. Let's see here. Where did the thing go? Okay. But it's not showing anything. I know it's this crazy thing here. Hold on. It was just. Somebody look at somebody and tell them, well, you sure look good to be a father. How old are you? Matter of fact, I want y'all to look at somebody right now and thank them. Say, I really thank you. Tell them. No, to tell somebody thank you, because if it weren't for you, I'd be the ugliest person in here today. Okay, good, cool. You do that. There you go. There we go. Now it's up here. Mm-hmm. The other one was the print version. I know, it just brought it up by itself. Because I had the right one up here. I was using it. If y'all know, I left my mic on and didn't know it, so y'all can hear everything I'm saying. I'm sure glad I ain't talking about anybody.
While he's doing that, I'd like to give y'all a testimony, please. About 2 weeks ago, I was supposed to go in for cataract surgery. And when they did the pre-op, for my cataract surgery, the EKG showed that there was something wrong. So, therefore, my cataract surgery was canceled until I had heart clearance. So, they did a catheterization, and I had 2 blockages. But praise the Lord, answered the prayer. The Lord took care of it. He bypassed the blockages himself.
That's awesome.
The doctor said my body did it, but we know God did it. And, of course, he's got me on Plavix now, and so I can't have my cataract surgery. So, we'll pray that he'll soon take me off that. He said it may be a year, but hopefully it won't be.
And so I want to praise the Lord for answering prayers.
Amen. Thank you. That's awesome. Get a little another hand clap of praise to our Heavenly Father. Okay, now let it rip. Now let that one rip. Just tap it once.
You have everything, right?
Yeah, Dad, I got everything. I got the stove, the sleeping bag, the liners, the matches, and the cooler.
Clean underwear?
Yeah, when Jenny packed the girls' bags, I'm sure she packed the girls' clean underwear.
I mean for you.
Yeah, it's in here somewhere.
Because if you forgot, you
Dad,
know.
Dad, I didn't forget them.
If not, you just flip them inside out.
All right.
You'll be fine. Hey, now remember, the s'mores. You want to make sure you get the chocolate.
I know, Dad. I need to melt the chocolate before I add the marshmallows. That way it all melts smoothly.
Yeah. Taking both girls camping. I can't even imagine what that would be like. I mean, it was one thing taking you and your brothers, but girls. Wow, that's a whole different ballgame.
I can do it.
No doubt. No doubt. Hey, son.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Have a great weekend. Make some good memories with those fine girls of yours. It's a privilege being a dad. You get to show them God's big old world, probably some stuff they've never seen this weekend. Just remind them who made it. Have fun with them. Laugh a lot. You were always such a serious little guy. Hey, I love you, boy.
I love you too.
Who are you talking to?
Nobody.
Hey! Are you ready for this?
I'm really ready.
You're really going to do this, aren't you? Why don't you just take her to the mall? Maybe ride a carousel, watch a movie.
I got this, trust me.
At least let me take this one.
Are you kidding me? She looks like me and has your personality. She's the life of the party. Why would I do that?
Do you pack clean underwear?
Why does everybody keep asking me about that?
Here's your diaper panties.
It's called underwear.
Why don't you let me go with you?
No.
I think your dad would be proud of you. Even though there are much easier ways to celebrate Father's Day.
Maybe. But you know what? It's what we do. Me and my dad. It's our thing.
I know.
Wow. Can somebody just say that for me one time? Wow. Yeah. You never know how much of an impact you have on your family. Never. And that's what we're going to talk about today, right now. We're going to talk first, this story that we're talking about. This first is the story of a son's deceit. And this is the usual focus. People look at this and they say, yeah, we're talking about Jacob and how him and his mother, they got together and they decided they were going to deceive Isaac. Isaac had cataracts or something like that and he couldn't see. And so they decided they were going to fix this thing. They were going to up the ante. And he had already got his birthright, his brother's birthright, Esau's birthright. And now he was going for the blessing. And people don't understand just how powerful a father's blessing on his children are. It's such a powerful, powerful thing. So he's in here with his mama. They figure out a way to rob the blessing from Esau. Now that's the negative, and that's what we always focus on. But let's do something different today. Let's do something. Matter of fact, let's talk about a greater story. And that story is of a father's blessing. And this is the unusual focus. And this story here, we're going to talk about these few verses here, even though he was deceived, and even though that he didn't know exactly what was going on at the time, Isaac, because of his eyes, although he didn't have spirit or physical eyes, he had spiritual eyes, and he had emotional eyes, and he knew the power of the blessing on his son. And so let's go past all the negative here, and let's just do the positive for a few minutes. You see, God's blessing on us as fathers, we are to pass it down. We are to tell our children and teach our children something very, very special. And it's because in this land that we live in, over half of the homes, that the fathers are no longer even either in the home or either he's just absent. And in the big cities where they have a lot of the high crime rate and the high drug rate, there's even less than half of the fathers in homes. And you'll see that the father has such a very high, powerful influence. Matter of fact, God, the father's blessing, first, it goes beyond value. You cannot place a monetary value on being blessed by your father. Not only does it go beyond value, it goes beyond words. You can't even talk about the difference. When I saw that about that man and saw him talking to his father, it's obvious when he shut the door, his father was dead. But although his father was dead, the blessing was still speaking to him. I sit back and I think about things my grandfathers told me and think about those good times I had with those guys and some of my spiritual fathers that I had over the years. And I can think about some of the things they told me. And I said, man, I can't help but just, every time I step in the pulpit, I hear Brother Haslip talking to me. Every time. You know, it's just, you hear these things, you see these things, because these people have been such a big impact. So here's something about God's, or the Father's blessing, the Father's blessing. First, it settles. It helps calm you down in a bad situation. How many times you've been in a bad situation, and you're sitting thinking, oh no, here it goes again. All of a sudden, you remember what your father said, and it calms you down. Wow, isn't it something? It's amazing. I mean, a lot of people can say a lot of things, but that father can say something to you, and you'll think about it. It'll settle you in a bad situation. It'll settle you down. It'll help you keep moving forward. Number two, it stirs you. Because I think about some of the things my father's told me, or some of the things I tell my boys, or some of the things my spiritual fathers have told me, and it stirs me to action. It lets me know that I can stand up. I can make a difference. I am somebody. I don't have to be afraid of what's coming at me. It stirs me. But also, it seals me. Now, by seals, it actually, what happens to me because of my father's blessing, I pass it down to the next generation. Some of the things that happened to my young has happened to them because of my father's blessing or my spiritual father's blessings. And the same way, there's some of the things that are happening to some of your children are happening to you that through the blessing of your father. So it's a very powerful, powerful thing. And I'm not here to make everybody say, oh, well, here we go. We're walking around and feel bad today. No, not at all. Matter of fact, I hope you feel good when we leave here. But there's some components to Isaac's blessing. And these components here are something that every father needs to do. And if the father isn't doing it today, don't go out and say, well, I blew that. Start it. Okay? If you see something here you're not doing, try it. It works. Guaranteed, 100%, it works. The first thing that Isaac did was a meaningful touch. Somebody said, well, he just called him near so he could see if it was Esau or not. No, he'd already eaten the venison. He was already eating the venison. It was over. He had already said, okay, you sound like Isaac, but you feel like Esau. And so he had already worked this out in his head what was going on. He weren't trying to see if it was Isaac. He was blessing his son. So the first thing is a meaningful touch. He said, come here, son, and kiss me. So the message here is understand with our children, words are never enough. Say it all you want to. Do all you want. Talk all you want to. Talk is cheap. It's important that we touch our children. It's important that we hug them, that we embrace them. You know, the method, if you look in Hebrew culture, every time you see people being blessed in Hebrew culture, it involves laying on of hands, it involves a kiss, an embrace that conveys acceptance or love. In Mark chapter 10, 13, they brought children to Jesus and he picked them up. You know, children didn't run from Jesus. Did you know that? Children love to go to Jesus. Why? Because he picked them up and he loved on them. And so he always interacted with them and he blessed with them. So it's important to do the same thing in our homes. Did you know that small children can't always communicate love with words? It tickles me whenever I hear my grandyoungest. The first time I heard my boys tell me, "I love you, Daddy." It was awesome. And Bethany, "I love you, Daddy." But now I get to hear it all over again with my grandchildren. The first time I get a chance to hear them say, "I love you." And Anna Lane said something so special last night that almost brought tears to my eyes. We're sitting on the couch, and she gets up over my head, and she looks down and says, "Pawpaw, you need some hair right there." What, Anna Lane? She said, "Pawpaw, you need hair right there." I said, "Thanks a lot." All right. You know, but it's important that even guys, the guy thing, still love on them boys. I remember one of the greatest experiences of my life was DC was in the eighth grade, and he was playing a ball game, a school ball game. And there was our school and the other school, and I was doing a revival. And so I didn't have time to go to the game. I just had time to go by while they were warming up. And I could go out there and I could at least say, you know, "Give it a good shot, son. Do the best you can." And I remember he was on third base. And I come out from his dugout behind first, and I started walking, and he met me on the mound and hugged me and kissed me on the cheek. An eighth grader. Wow. That just lit my fuse. But you know why he did that? Because Dad did the same thing with them. Guys, don't worry about being macho. Hug your children. Love on them. Mess their hair up. So eventually you can go to them one day and say, "You need some hair, right? There." Small children can't communicate level words, so you got to communicate it by holding them, pulling them in, touching them, you know, riding them on your shoulder, whatever you got to do. Did you know that Jacob was 40 years old when his dad was hugging on him and kissing on him? 40 years old. Doesn't matter what age you are, we need to have meaningful touch when we're blessing our children. And then here's the one that doesn't necessarily sound like a compliment, but it's a very big compliment. A spoken message of affection and love. He says, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field." Oh, really? You ought to smell the field by my house. I come by the other day. Daniel's on my. I come by a couple weeks ago, and I walked out, and I actually thought that somebody had killed something and had left it over top of the ground out there by the house. I went out looking to see if somebody killed a deer, and it was dead in my backyard. I kept looking around. And I said, "What is it?" Obviously, somebody has killed two or three deer. They've killed a bear, something. And I kept looking, and I heard the tractor, and in the field next to it, they were putting out manure. Liquid manure. High potent liquid manure. And so I just grabbed my nose and said, here I am trying to get over this stuff, and thought I was going to throw up. So I heard it got in the house. Well, it wasn't bad enough they did it a couple weeks ago. They had to do it again yesterday. Daniel rode by, and Daniel said, "Daddy, what stinks so bad?" I said, "Daniel, they just put manure out in the field." He said, "Oh, God." Then I walked over to my dad's house. My dad's down. My dad looked at me and said, "Son, why is everybody asking me what stinks?" My dad looks at me and says, "What stinks, son?" I started going, "Is it me? Everybody was asking me why everything stinks." But see, to tell a child today that they smell like a field, especially that one by our house now, it would not be a compliment. Although I can tell you, I've seen some diapers that outdid that field. Amen. Amen. The smell of a field ready for harvest was a great smell. These guys were outdoorsmen. That's why Esau and Isaac, he loved him so much because he was an outdoorsman just like him. They were mirrored together and mirror of each other. And so it was a very compliment, big compliment to him is "You smell like a field. You smell awesome. And I just want to just get around you and pick you up." And how many's ever held you young and loved that baby smell? I've seen some go, "I just got to get more of that baby smell. Get more of that baby smell." And then you hit one with a bad diaper and you say, "I'm through now." Amen. So the method is, listen to this now. And I'm guilty. I'm not going to pretend you I'm the father of the year and I did everything perfect. And look at me because I'm the man, because I can tell you I've messed up more than I can tell you. I messed up more than I can count. And I'm pretty sure DC and Daniel and Bethany can tell you early on, and I'm pretty sure Tamala can tell you now that at times in y'all's eyes I've messed up. Not mine, but y'all know. No, I'm kidding. Y'all know the times I've messed up. But look, don't be quick to criticize. Remind the children of the mistakes. Words of criticism really don't accomplish much. You know, all they do is cause a child to withdraw. You're a dummy. You're lazy. You're mean. When I was early on, I used to tell people to say, "What's wrong with DC and Daniel?" And I go, "They're mean." And finally, somebody took me to the side and said, "Quit saying they're mean." I said, "I'm just being funny." They said, "They're not taking it as funny." And so I quit saying that. And if you hear me, anybody, any of y'all ever tell me, when you tell me you're young is mean, you'll hear me say, "Don't say that." Even if they are, don't say it. Because they're going to take that and it's going to cause them withdrawal, and it's going to take away a little bit of your power to influence them. There is room for constructive criticism, but constructive criticism and destructive criticism are two different things. But it's more important that we communicate love by what we say. You're worth something. I love you. I thank God for you. You're a special gift to me. And speak life to them. Speak life. Somebody say that out loud. Speak life. Matter of fact, every dad say that. Speak life. Every dad, every future dad say that. Speak life. I didn't hear any future dads say it. I didn't mean like you had one on the way. I meant, you know, later on you may have. Okay, y'all guys were getting scared. I wouldn't say anything of that. Third thing, assure them of their value. He said, "May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness and abundance of grain and new wine." The message was, you're so special, God's going to give the best He has to you. You know, even as you get older, you'll find out that you can just saying something special to your children like that, saying something of that value, honestly, you'll see them pick themselves up and they'll walk a little taller when you can find something to compliment. I try my best. I don't always do it. I try my best. If I'm going to say something that's going to be negative, I try to find something positive. You know, I'm trying to think of the word for it. It just slipped my mind. But it is a positive sandwich, because you got a positive, and you may have the negative in the middle, but make sure you start it with a positive, end it with a positive, you know. And so I'm not saying that you're all this bad and all this. I'm just talking about this one thing. Let's just talk about it, you know. So now it's not just, and teach your children, you're so valuable that your Heavenly Father sent His very best. He sent His best. He sent Jesus. Do you know how long it was before I heard that? And who I heard it from? I'm not talking about, I'm not cutting down my dad. I love my dad. But he never told me that. Somebody else had to tell me. And so I made sure that my boys heard it from the time they could understand words, and heard it again. And again and again, and heard it from me. It's important. The blessing of the Father is important. Now, my Father's blessed me. Please, I'm not talking about that. Don't go here and say, "Well, his daddy's a heathen." No. No, 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 no. Please don't say anything to him if you see him. I'm just telling you, it's just us. I'm just telling you. It's not by just words. We teach him in a number of ways. See, how many times has your child come to you and you didn't think it was important, but they did, and you didn't even turn off the TV? How about this? Tell me that. Dad, can I talk to you? Sure. Hold on just a minute. Okay. What you need? Hold on a minute. Hold on. I just got a reply. Okay, talk to me. What are you doing? Brain surgery, Dad? What? No, I just Facebook's up, and I'm just trying to keep in touch. Well, you ought to see that joke. Look at that joke. Ain't it funny? But Dad, I'm having a hard time. Can you help me? Hold on. Wow. It's important that our kids, think that we think he's more important and stuff like that. So now, sometimes you need to turn off TV. Sometimes you need to put down the paper. You just need to turn off that cell phone. Just listen. Show them that you're valuable. You're a valuable son. You're a valuable daughter. I'm glad God gave you to us. And I want you to know that if you ever need to talk, I'm here and I will listen. Do you know sometimes you think, why won't they talk to me? Sometimes, believe it or not, it's because when they tried, you didn't show them attention. I remember one time, D.C., man, it was something. I was trying to coach, and I was trying to, I was working swing shift, and I was trying to pastor, and D.C. kept asking me something to do in his Boy Scouts, and I kept saying, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, and I kept telling, and his mama said, you better help him. And I said, he's got to understand, I'm a busy man. Christmas came. His project was coming due. He had it in his hands, walking out the door. I said, where are you going? He said, I'm going over across the street to Granddad's. I said, for what? Said, Uncle Gary is over there, and he's going to help me do my project. I said, I told you I would. He said, oh, Dad, you just go ahead and pray with somebody, do a wedding, preach a sermon. I got this, and walked out. That day, I got hit with a boulder, big boulder, and I never did that again. Wow. It's important that we show our children. You know, and children respond to positive. You know, it's like this man walked outside one day. Anything. Animals even respond. You know, there's this man walked outdoors one day and his neighbor's dog had run across the street and saw the man's newspaper and brought it to him. So the man said, hold on just a minute, buddy. And he reached over and grabbed a snack and he gave it to the dog. And said, good dog, that's smart. Man, you're smart. He said, you're going back over across the street, and he shut the door. The next morning, he opens up the door, and the dog's there again, this time with 9 papers. He grabbed everybody's paper. I'm going to get one treat for one. You know, it's important. Show your child that they've got some value. And then here it is, a picture of a future and a hope. It says, may nations serve you and your peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed and those who bless you be blessed. The message here is Isaac's helping him to raise his sights and to understand that he's got a future and it's bright. I tell all my kids, you got a future. You got a future. Sometimes I don't necessarily just say, okay, you got a future and it's bright. I tell them by different ways, but it's okay. Tell them. Let them know, yes, this is good. I can see you doing this, and I can see you doing that. You see the method is, now here's a very misunderstood scripture. Proverbs 22:6 says, train your child in the way he shall go, and when he's old, he won't turn from it. Now here's the number one translation of this scripture, and although it's correct, it's not all of it. Teach them the things of God, and when they're old, they won't forsake it. That's what everybody says. We just train them, and then they're going to come back to it. That is partially correct. Here's how the scripture goes. Train a child in the way he should go. That word he should go is find his bent. Find what that child is good at. And when you find what that child is good at, your job is to keep training them in that. When DC and Daniel were coming up, I saw how good the musicians they were. So I just kept putting more stuff in their hands and finding more ways for them to do that. You know, kept putting it there. And the same way, if I see a child and see them good at something, I make sure I tell them, you know, about how good they were. I was at the ball field last week and one of the dads was actually kind of got down on his daughter because, and I'm not talking about DC. This is not DC. I'm not using a euphemism for DC. We all know that he, matter of fact, when Sierra hit the ball almost to the fence, DC jumped, he was in a dugout, and I think he was going to bounce out of the dugout. He was screaming and hollering, and he hit the fence and bounced back and hit the fence again while Sierra was going around, and he was hollering, run, 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 run. I wonder if DC and says, son, I'm going to tell you something. You need to work on this. Get a little bit of more emotion in this. But I saw a father get on his daughter, and she played good all game. She played good, 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 and she made one bad throw, and he was getting on her. And I looked over at the dad and I said something like, do you do everything perfect every time? And he went, no. And I said, matter of fact, your daughter is awesome. I can't believe I watched her play. I just think she's awesome. And I said, one mistake. I said, now if she kept making a mistake, take her out back and shoot her. But she didn't keep making a mistake. And when his daughter came off the field, the first thing I did was I walked over to her and I just lifted her up and praised her for how good she played. And the father looked at me and he said, and he called on. And then, you know, well, find what a child's good at, whether it's music, whether it's engineering, whether whatever it is, put it in their hands. Let them get a hold of it. And when they get old, they won't depart from it. When they get old, it's going to wind up blessing them, and they'll bless others. So we need to find our children, have our children find their niche, who they are, why they were made, find out what God is doing for them, because God made every last one of us special. And our responsibility as parents is to find what they how many parents here know exactly, or not necessarily exactly, but you see things that your child can do that you understand is a talent. They're good at it. And so you know what your responsibility is? Your responsibility is to help build on that. That's what the scripture is talking about. And you'll watch what happens. You'll give them a glorious future. And then finally, commitment. Now this here is the strongest of all, I think. In verse 37, it says, "And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, Behold, I have made him thy Lord." Now Esau's upset. He says, "Where's my blessing? Ain't you got another one? What's going on here?" And he goes, "Hold on." He says, "I've made him thy Lord, and all his brethren have given him for servants, and with corn and wine I have sustained him, and what shall I do unto thee now, son?" Now, I want you to understand this. What is this? What is he saying? You know, look at this. This doesn't even make sense. He should have just gone, "He lied to me. His mama deceived me. He got in here and got wrong. I'm just going to, and now I'm just going to put him up, and I'm going to take you, Esau, and I'm going to give you the blessing." That's not what happened. After he realized that he had mistakenly blessed Jacob, Isaac still acknowledged the commitment that he did to him. Wow. After he knew it was blown, after he knew what his son had done, after he knew his son had not been up and up with him, he still acknowledged his commitment to what he had said. See, commitment provides what's needed for the blessing and bless one to thrive. So let me tell you something. How many dads in here, your children are always perfect? Raise your hands. Look around, y'all. How many in here, your children have never give you a reason to get upset? How many in here, your children would even make the Pope cuss sometimes? Now the hands are going up. But you know what? We need to stay true to them no matter what. Let them know that I still got you back. You may mess up, but I got you back. You're going to do stuff. You know, matter of fact, how many dads in here have you ever not give your dad a reason? I can tell you, I give my dad plenty of reasons. You know, I admit it. I was a ringleader. And my wife said, "What?" I mean, I instigated a lot. I have to admit, and my dad put up with a lot from me. But you know what? Again, always knew this, and I still know this, that even in the worst of times, my dad's got my back. Okay? And your children need to know, no matter what, your dad's got your back, even if he has to go backwards to get to you. Or whatever it's got to be. So here, I'm going to bless y'all been very quiet today. I thought this was a positive, uplifting message, and y'all were looking like, "Would you please shut up?" Oh, you're trying to behave? Okay. All right, here's the blessing summed up. Watch this. I want y'all to remember this. Number one, your children want affection. Here it is. Do you love me, Dad? Do you love me? Acceptance. Can I be myself around you? Attention. Are you watching me? Approval. Did I do a good job? Do you think I'm a smart kid? Affirmation. Are you proud of me? Wow. You see, again, our job is to bless the next generation. Future. Hope. Too many dads are MIA when it comes to genuine spiritual, emotional, physical encouragement. If you haven't lately, stand up and be counted. Every last one of us in here, we are blessed to be a blessing. Did you know that? We are blessed to be a blessing. You say, well, you just gave me four things and I didn't do but two of them. Well, starting today, do all four of them. And if you got slack on one, all you got to do is just look. This is the cool thing. Kids react pretty quick. And even if you've been doing, hadn't done some of this stuff, you start doing it, they will react almost immediately. It'll be an immediate gratification. I guarantee it. For them and for you. Now, every dad, stand up. Now, I could do something weird and mean like saying, if you do all four of these things, keep standing. If you don't sit down, I'm not going to do that. That would be mean. I'm playing. I wouldn't do that, y'all, because I'd be sitting down too, because there's times I haven't done it. I'm telling you, while one finger's pointing, three fingers are pointing back at you. All right, guys, raise your hands. Father, you see all these dads in here. It is a tough job being a dad because we got schedules to work out. We've got to try to provide a living for our family. We got to provide for our homes. We got so many things we have to do, and it's so hard to find time to stretch out and be that godly example. But Lord, I know, Father, you're not asking us to do something we can't do. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that although this negative story about Jacob stealing a blessing is a very positive thing of what Isaac did, Isaac showed some very powerful stuff in his blessing. I ask you right now, Lord, touch every dad. Touch every future dad. Touch every dad that's dad because of birth, or touch every dad that's dad because of circumstance. And some have both of that. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch them. Touch us all. Help us, God, to see clearly what you want us to do with our families, and help us to see clearly how to bless our children. And understand that even just that little bit, if we can't put a lot out there at times, just that little bit will go a long way. I ask you right now, Lord, to bless every father. Bless their children. Let them leave that legacy. So when the time comes that they take their journey home, their children will still remember what they did for them and still remember what lessons, valuable lessons, that they were taught by us. And God, help us to remember the lessons we were taught by our fathers and our spiritual fathers and our circumstantial fathers. And Lord, help us not to forget them either. Lord, bless. Lord, we are blessed to be a blessing, and I thank you for it right now. Lord, all you do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now, every child in here, hug a dad. And look, if you see a dad standing by himself, go hug him too. Hug a dad day. Hug a dad. And, all right. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get to you without falling down. What's wrong? I'm sorry. Ah, look a future dad. Future father of America, FFA.